Blog Talk Radio.
The Grassroots Mouthpiece with your host, Marcus J. Eccles.
Funny thing about talking behind my back is that it just keep coming back to me. Was off for a sec, now it's back to me.
No sellout.
What I want, man, it's what it had to be. This is LA night working after three, man. This is why my old girl was mad at me. This why I'm your majesty, man. The click is the tightest.
Bringing voices to power.
Okay, in this episode of Bringing Voices to Power, I talk with Pam Hill, a candidate for Huntsville City School Board, District 5. She comes from a family involved in public education for three generations. Pam believes the opinions, views, and experiences of citizens are vital for our schools to excel. While this excellence in education drives much of the economy of Huntsville, our schools should not be viewed as a profit center. Rather, our focus must be on our students. Her plan includes restoring transparency to the Board of Education. It includes returning books to the classroom to augment the Digital 1-1 initiative. And it also includes our students, parents, teachers, and administrators gaining a strong leader as their voice. Good morning, Pam. Ms. Hill, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you. I know there was, since the meeting the other night last week, I've been getting a lot of inboxes saying people they were interested in you. It was really the first time some people got to see you and to see you on stage against Mr. Matthews. And I can tell this because I'm also known as the grassroots mouthpiece, so I hear it a lot on the grassroots level. People are just not happy with Mr. Matthews. I'll get into that later, but first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. I'm Pam Hill. I'm a product of Huntsville City Schools. I actually call myself Huntsville City Schools. I started in 1966 in District 5 at Highlands Elementary. It was in my backyard, actually. And then I went to Ed White, and I graduated in 1979 from S.R. Butler High School. I was a proud graduate. And while I was in school, one of my teachers realized that my home might not be the safest place, so she took special care of me, and I decided that day that she talked to me that I wanted to be the lady who keeps children safe and teaches them and makes their day of learning successful and feel loved and just eager to go back the next day. So I went to school. I got 5 education degrees. I have a B.S., a bachelor's in elementary education. I have a master's in elementary education. I have a master's in social sciences, grades 7 through 8. I have a master's in educational administration, and I have an EDS in teacher leadership. As you can see, it was very, very important to me, and I wanted to do the best I could, just like my teachers have done for me. But my children went through. They graduated. I was so proud of them. They're productive citizens. And now I have a granddaughter that started this morning for the first time. I resigned from Huntsville City Schools on May 27th, the last day of the school year last year, 2016. I knew that yesterday and today, I would not be able to tell the parents of my students that they would be as safe as they should be or learn as much as they could. And because Huntsville City Schools had been a safe place for me all these years, even as a 55-year-old as I leave, I still consider that my safe place and where I spent my whole life. Not only did I teach, but I volunteered for my children. I did my substitute teaching there while I was getting my education. I did my student teaching at Stone. And the schools that I've taught at are Lakewood, James Dawson, Williams, and Cove. I've been in all the schools to help at one time or the other, and I've been known as the vocal advocate of Huntsville City Schools. And unfortunately, that's come back to hurt me a little bit because I've stood at the mic at the school board meetings for 19 years, and I've told the truth. And it's passion. You can't hide it. You can't pretend you have passion. You can't have somebody pay you to run to have passion. I want every child in Huntsville City Schools, and I mean every one of them, to have an equitable education. I have friends all over the city, and they say all their schools have needs. And I've decided the best way I can still protect children is to resign. And so I resigned on May 27th. I gave up my pension. I gave up all my retirement, and I quit so that I could run for school board. I feel like the teachers don't have any control of their classrooms. I don't feel, I know. The teachers don't have any control of their classrooms any longer. The principals are afraid of the administrators above them. Discipline forms have been thrown in the trash. The technology, I'm thankful for technology, but it came too soon and way too fast. And then just so that the system can brag, they keep adding programs upon programs upon programs. And unfortunately, our children are getting left behind. I want to move from the teacher's chair to the school board chair, and I want to represent District 5. And let me tell you just a little bit about District 5. It starts on Maston Lake, on the not on the James Dawson side, but on the ASFL side. It goes all the way down Maston Lake. It goes up over Plummer, back down Capshaw, all the way past Providence. It includes Providence. It goes down Capshaw. It turns up around County Line Road. It goes up Balch. Then it goes all around Madison and even includes some of Madison and Limestone County. Then we cross the interstate, and then we go down Zurt, and we have all of Zurt. Madison has taken a few neighborhoods out of Zurt, and then we have a little bit of the arsenal. So it is a large area. I think it's been ignored. I want to be District 5's voice. I want to be Columbia High School's voice. That's why I stood out in the rain this morning to welcome them all back. And I am so thankful for this opportunity that you have given me to share that I believe, I know that I'm the best candidate for District 5.
Yes, and I attended the Tennessee Valley Diversity Candidates Forum that they had there, the Fellowship of Faith Church, and you really got a good feel of the candidates, and I really liked your message. I really didn't know you or Mr. Matthews, but from sitting there and observing and knowing what I know about politics and with my ear to the grassroots, I just think you would be the better choice. Now, Mr. Matthews has an opportunity to come on this show as well, but my ideas will not change because I'm speaking for the grassroots, and that's why I did this show, to be a voice for the grassroots. And Pam, you hit the nail on the head. It's hard to be a strong voice because people just expect you to just to be quiet and fall in line. So I'm glad you're seeking a position where you can be the voice you need to be for the people and for the parents and for the kids. And you can do that from that position. And I would love to see you do it. Now let's talk about, I think you mentioned it, may have mentioned it earlier. What's your ideas about improving the school safety?
Well, I think that I'm not even sure. I hope that that wasn't their intention to make a mess, because we need to be out from under the desegregation order. I think everybody believes that. All of our schools should be segregated, and all of our children should be protected. I don't care what color they are. And how dare Huntsville City Schools dissolve Butler, break up Johnson, break up the black schools, and put those children on buses wherever they wanted to so that their numbers would be right, so that they would have the right number of minorities in a school. I'd be mad about that, too, if I was a minority. Do you think they wanted to leave their home school? Did they get a choice? Did they break up the white schools? I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm not sure it wasn't even planned, but I'll tell you what, every child will be treated equally when I'm on that board, and I will speak publicly to it from the voices of the people. You can email me, you can text me, and I will be your voice. And, yeah, there's some discipline problems, and, yeah, there would be some discipline problems when you do that. And maybe the judge did ask them to do that. But when you're a superintendent who tries to be the general of a school system instead of an educator, and he's not in control now, he has created a mess. And all I want is for every child to learn and every child to be safe.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely made a mess out of something. It didn't have to be that way. I mean, if he wants to run a military school, then maybe he should have opened one up on the Redstone Arsenal. Now let's go back and talk about.
You tell him that if he calls in.
Exactly. I'll tell him that. I'll definitely tell him that because I'm speaking for the grassroots here, and I don't hold back. And the question I posed to the mayor about criminalizing students. We can't get into a position where we're criminalizing students. It seems like we got a police military like idea of how the schools should be disciplined. I know they got problems, but one thing we need to do is to make sure that these kids are not going into junior high or getting out of high school with some type of record.
Absolutely. I believe that until they're 18 years old that it can be erased. Unfortunately, I was always a goody two-shoes. Maybe that's why I wanted to be a teacher. But one of my
the cost of erasing it is not free. You just can't go over and say erase it. Expungement costs. It's going to be lawyer fees and other fees you have to pay. So coming out of high school for a fight you may have gotten into, like teenagers do, you or your parents might be responsible for some type of payment.
That's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. And do I think they should be thrown out for a fight? No. I do think if they can't sit and listen and learn, they should not interrupt anybody that wants to learn. But I do not think it should be military like the police come in and the videos we've all seen. And then the superintendent trying to hide the mess by saying, if you take the video, then you're the one that will be expelled. I want every child at school so they can learn. It goes deeper than the discipline. I want them in a classroom. If they need to be in a different classroom or a smaller classroom so they can learn with a teacher that can make a relationship with them, then let's do it. Spending all this money on contracts and commercials that aren't even true about we're the best school system in the world. I just let them go in. I wish Wardensky would let them just go in a few schools for a day and see if we're the best schools in the world. I think it's propaganda. I think they're treating the teenagers wrong. I told Columbia students this morning that I would be their voice. Every student has to be able to get a job or go to college when they leave Huntsville City Schools. And you didn't bring it up, but I will. No student can make under a 50. Teachers are instructed to change their grade while they'll at least have a 50. Now, if you have a lot of 50, you're going to still not graduate. And so they've made something called where you recover your grades. All that means is a child can sit on his laptop at home or at the store or at school and just keep taking the same test over and over until he gets the answers right. And there's only so many answers. I don't call that learning, and I don't call that helping that child. I call that messing with the data so that Wardensky can brag about something he doesn't really have. And am I the administration choice? I can assure you I am not. But I believe I'm the voter's choice. I will stick up for your child. Your child needs to learn they don't need to be in jail. Your child needs to learn they don't need to be thrown out because they backtalked. That they do need to stay and make a connection and maybe in a smaller classroom, and they need to learn. And if that's not happening to your child when I'm sitting on the school board, then you will call me, and my number will be public, and we will take care of it. I don't think their answers are right. I'm not sure that children and students are their top priority. I think numbers are, and they'll do anything to change those numbers.
Very true. I feel the same way.
It's absolutely
the same
true.
Way.
They're
more worried about the numbers.
Me. Yeah, they told me to cheat. We've all heard the mess in Atlanta where teachers they had to work and they were so afraid, so they possibly, I think they were accused of cheating and some had to go to jail. That could happen right here, as much pressure as they put on those teachers. 600 have left. Okay, I'll stop. Boy, I'm sorry.
It's
your show.
No, it's your show today. It's your show today. I just want to ask you about how much of that these tests and how they can take it over and over and over and so much concentration on these tests, how much of that do you think is linked to grants and funds that they can get if these test scores go up. Do you think that's part of the drive behind this main focus solely on tests?
I think they have some really huge contracts with some really huge companies. And I think when Wardynski walks away, the truth is going to be told, because he's going to go work for one of these companies that he's spending millions, I mean millions of dollars on. And it's just because we bought their product. And then to take the books out, we've already paid for the books. Why would we want to take them out unless he wanted to buy new laptops or new programs? If he wants to run a company, I wish he'd go away and run a company. You do not run a school system like a business. You teach and prepare students to go out into the business world. But what he's doing isn't going to. It's going to bring him accolades, and then he's going to leave with Tommy Battle, just like Tommy Battle told me in his office. Those two are going to leave together in 2 years. And I said, how does that help the children and students of Huntsville, Alabama?
And I say, why don't they both just get out right now? Do us all a favor and get out right now so we can get on with
you.
It.
I hear you. If a student has a poor teacher or doesn't learn in 1 year, research shows it takes 3 years to make that up. So when I say 600 teachers left, some of those could have been asked to leave, but 547 of them left on their own free will. And I don't know if people know, but teachers don't get paid much, but we get paid the rest of our life. But you got to have 25 years or be 65, and I'm not either. I'm neither. So I lost it all because I love Huntsville City Schools, and I will not stand by, even if I don't get the victory, I will not stand by and be quiet while he ruins the education and future of these 23,000 students. And I ask for everyone's vote that is in District 5 on August 23rd. You're in District 5 if you go to Columbia, if you go to Williams P8, if you go to Highlands Elementary, if you go to AAA. I also understand that they pull some out of Morris and some out of Sunny Hereford. So if any of that is you, do go to the polls on August 23rd. Make it a priority as soon as you drop your child off or as soon as you get off work, and you go to your voting place. And if you don't know where it is, you can look it up on Alabama Votes or Madison County Votes.
Yes, and I encourage all our listeners that if you're not in District 5 and you know someone who is, give them a call and tell them to vote Pam Hill. I mean, she's a strong voice, and she's not going to cave like a lot of those other people have that's sitting up there on that board. It's just unbelievable how they caved, and seems like they switched roles. It seems like they work for him, not the other way around. So they totally caved in and betrayed the people.
That's the only way that he and some business people, they think that's the only way you can get on the board. I don't think that. I think the people have woken up, and I think they're going to go to the polls and vote. The present school board has voted unanimously with almost zero conversation at the school board meetings for anything the superintendent has asked for. He's had them agree to change so much policy that he is almost allowed to do everything without them. But that is not the state law. And he said at the last board meeting, and of course they all voted yes on everything, he said, see, this is how a good board works. No, I say no, that's not how a good board works. I say you don't make backroom deals and then come out and tell the public everybody agrees. I say you put it on the table, you discuss it. District 5 is going to elect me, and I'm going to speak for District 5. But if they all start bobbing their heads up and down like they've done for 5 years, I'll speak for every district. And I can tell you, I've practiced, I've looked in the mirror, and Pam Hill can nod her head no just as easily as she can yes.
It looks more like instead of a back room deal, it was a bathroom deal, and they all came out without washing their hands. It's just dirty the way the thing is just looking over there. And I'm telling you, the people are tired. They're tired how we have a superintendent. Yeah, we had a superintendent come in here and just turn the whole process upside down. And, of course, he probably wants to get out. And he's going to go these few years by pushing these numbers, you know, cooking the books with the numbers.
Absolutely cooking the books.
He's got all that going on, and he'll get one or two schools built up. And he's going to leave out smelling like a rose, but the whole system is going to be rotten, stinking by the time he leaves.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And guess what? Don't be surprised if the mayor leaves at the very same time.
The mayor's got aspirations of a higher office himself, but he can't go with a good conscience the way he has left North Huntsville. He hasn't done anything in North Huntsville. I mean, a lot of people, and I'm going to talk about, I know we're here to talk about you, but I just want to say, look at North Huntsville. I mean, and I couldn't, you know, I respect Councilman Showers. I've worked for him on his campaign before, and he's done a lot of good, a tremendous amount of good in the community, but his time is sort of like Joe Reed's. It's done came and gone.
I almost hate you comparing the two, but I really respect Richard Showers. I don't know if he's well as he was. I know he doesn't want to give up.
I don't know much about his medical thing, but I know his leadership is not well. His leadership is sick. I know that because if you're going to get money, and what I didn't like is he stood up there and he said that, well, now you got a splash pad, and I was chomping at the bits, but they didn't get to me for a question. They didn't get to me for a question. But what I wanted to know was, if he got that amount of money in for $1.2 or $1.3 million to upgrade the shower center, something that's in his name, and a splash pad after 3 months when the weather changed, how good is a splash pad? Now, how many businesses could have been created with that amount of money? Yes, money come into the district, but when it seems like it comes in the district, it goes to one address. That's my problem with it. It only goes to one address when it comes into the district. He could have took that $1 million, and he could have helped several businesses. If it's $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, even $50,000. Imagine if that money would have been broken up with $20,000 to start people with their own businesses. Some type of business incubator. That money could have been used better than some type of splash pad. It's good that North Huntsville has a splash pad, but North Huntsville needs jobs.
Yeah.
They need income coming in. They don't need a splash pad because after 3 months, I mean, when it gets cold, who's going to get any use out of a splash pad? Nobody's going to be out there splashing. But if you'd have made a business, somebody could be buying products the whole year round. So I was just disappointed. And that's all he had to offer was the splash pad. I mean, it's kind of basically tell me it sounded almost as ridiculous as him saying that he brought lights to North Huntsville. North Huntsville didn't have any lights in 1988. So I guess now Richard Showers is the bringer of light.
Well, I know there was a lot of conversation about North Huntsville and their progress. And I know that both of them tried to say they were going to do the parkway, and it was brought out by many of the people in the audience that North Huntsville is more than the parkway. I'm sorry, I think I'm losing contact with you. I think I've lost you. You might can hear me, but I can't hear you. I'm sorry, I lost you. I still have you on the line, but I don't hear anything. Can you hear me? I'm just going to thank you for your time and ask people to please vote for Pam Hill, August 23rd. I'd be happy to talk to anyone. I'm having a meet and greet on down on 1127 Locust Avenue on Sunday. It is a fundraiser, $25. But if you'll get on my website and if you would look at it, Pam Hill, or Pam, I have two, a personal one, Pam Hill. I also have Pam Hill, FORCOE5. If you would look at that one, you can find lots of information. I can't thank you enough for this time, and I am so sorry I've lost connection with you. God bless you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you there? Are you there?
We have some technical difficulties there.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. You still there?
Now I can hear you, but I couldn't. Do you want me just to hang up? Could you hear me when I couldn't hear you? Or could you not hear me either?
Yeah, I could hear you. You went out a couple of times.
Yeah.
I can hear you. Well, if you got a minute, let's talk about your ideas on the property values.
Oh, I'd love to. Are we on?
Yes, we're on.
Oh, hey, y'all. I'm sorry we lost a little connection there.
Yeah,
maybe
we had a little
difficulties. Maybe I got too heated. Maybe I heated my phone up. let's talk about property values. When I resigned, that meant I didn't have any income coming in. So my husband says, you got to help out. So at 9, I got my real estate license, and now I'm a realtor. And I want to tell you that I'm hearing all over this city that property values go down when our schools go down. I've had several people down Desert Road, over in the southeast Huntsville, I'm sure in every area, that their property value has dropped $30,000 because of the schools around them. And so these commercials that they're putting out, they're not working. People are coming, if they're going to move to Huntsville, and they're going to move to Huntsville, but they're going to choose private if they can, or Christian, or some kind of homeschooling, because people can't sell their houses. In Williams, it went down $30,000. In Blossomwood, and we know Blossomwood gets the best, their houses are on the market over 105 days. We have problems in every school, and it's also going to cause the small business problems. And so all this money that they're spending on these roads, yeah, we need roads, but they better start investing in education. And just yesterday, the Realtors Association of Huntsville and North Alabama endorsed Carlos Matthews. I can't understand it. I told him I can't understand it. I don't know how you could not endorse a fellow realtor or someone who has 5 education degrees and has spent their life in Huntsville City Schools. The Committee of 100 endorsed Carlos Matthews, and I don't have a crystal ball, but I bet that the builders will endorse Carlos Matthews. See, they got million-dollar homes. I don't care how much yours goes down. They think they can stand behind a man who doesn't know public education, and it'll help you. No, it won't. Your house will go down in value. You cannot stay home August 23rd. You have to get out and vote. You have to vote for mayor, City Council and your school board member. And Districts 1 and 5 come together on Maston Lake Road, and then we separate. But we're all one community, and I want the best for you, and I want the best for Huntsville City School, and I want you to be able to sell your house for what it's worth.
And the committee of 100, that's a strange endorsement with them and Mr. Matthews, maybe because he doesn't know anything about education. They feel like they probably can't control him. But on a grassroots level, committee of 100, they don't have any respect in the grassroots. The only thing they got is their money, and that's probably why they're trying to buy someone who doesn't know anything about education, but that's not going to work. The people are not going to be fooled by the committee of 100 and a phony Carlos Matthews. He's a fraud.
Thank you so much. Well, he's being used, and I don't even know if he knows he's being used, but if he is being used, he's just proud he's got the money people behind him. But you know what? This is our community, and money doesn't vote. But if you stay home on August 23rd, you're going to have another bobblehead. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Carlos, but if you take the endorsement from Committee of 100, you have to sign that you will do what they want you to do. And the mayor took the money from the Committee of 100. And several other people did, but I wasn't offered it.
That's good. Because they know they're not going to offer it to anybody that they know that they can't control or they can squeeze
Absolutely.
Something out of at the expense of regular folks. And Carlos Matthews, he's going to be nothing but a puppet for the Committee of 100. He's just going to be a puppet. And the Committee of 100, they don't have any credibility. And Mr. Matthews, nobody likes the way he did on the Johnson issue. And
oh,
I encourage
goodness.
Everybody to come out on the 23rd and make sure that the guy who's sitting up there as one of the ones behind what happened to get him out. Get him out.
Absolutely.
Do not let him have that, because if he did this to you before, he's not going to change. I mean, it's just so disrespectful. It's so disrespectful to keep the colors, keep the mascot, but change the name. That doesn't make much sense. If you're going to start all the way over, start all over. That little half measure, I guess, to try to quieten the people, you know, give them the mascot and give them the colors while we sneak in and change the name, is just a bunch of crap. And Mr. Matthews and that board should be ashamed of themselves.
And he was the chairman of that committee. Yes, he was.
Yes,
and
his answers.
He was put there. Yeah, go ahead.
The answers didn't. I was just going to say the answers he's given about how the name change and proposed names. It just doesn't jive, and it is just not right. He did not fight to keep it as Johnson. He was willing to do whatever his puppet masters wanted him to do.
And he still is. Matter of fact,
he's
his campaign manager. His campaign manager is also paid $40,000 a month and $250 an hour to follow people around like me that have negative things to say. And it's not even ethical. How can you have the same campaign manager that works for the superintendent? How can he get paid out of both of those and it be fair? I guarantee you, if David Driscoll is behind you, you are tied to Wardensky. And that's who Carlos Matthews has. And I know this isn't about him. I don't even want to give him any credit, any airtime, because that man is evil. But I'm telling you that you need to vote Pam Hill, and I promise you, I just did at, First Baptist and First Missionary Church with Reverend Scruggs this weekend. And when I was shaking his hand on the way out the door, he says, "You don't have to tell me who you are, Pam Hill. You are a bold woman, and I'm praying for you." And that's what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to pray for me, because I am not going to be quiet. I am not. This is my life I've spent. What more can you give than your life? Please don't elect a puppet. Please elect Pam Hill.
Yes, I'm encouraging everybody to vote, and I'm going to be out there because I could see right through Mr. Matthews at that meeting. I could see right through it, and the public is seeing right through him too. Yeah, he's got a lot of financial people backing him because they want to control him because he's somebody that really does not know what in the world is going on. He just sees that somebody's willing to financially back him for this position, and he's going to owe everything to them once he gets there. He's too easily controlled, and every time he speaks up about something, he's not speaking up for the normal person and parent. He's speaking up for his puppet masters. Okay, let me ask you about how would you revamp the pacing guides? And I've heard that you feel that they're moving too quickly for most of the classroom. Yes. So what would you do about revamping those pacing guides?
Oh, boy, would I. And if you don't know what a pacing guide is, this is something that Dr. Wardinsky has established so that we'll meet the standard to pass the test that we have to teach instead of really teaching content that would help the children learn. Every 9 weeks, every teacher, and in some of the schools, they moved it up to 4 weeks this year. I don't remember the names of them, but I could get them for you. But last year, every school, every 9 weeks, you had to pass a reading test and pass a math test. And if you didn't get it in 9 weeks, then you weren't a smart student and you had a bad teacher. We all know, we all learn differently, and we all have different assets and things that we're experts at. And maybe it's not math, or maybe it's not reading, or maybe you need more than 9 weeks to learn it. But they mark you right then. So that's your score on that day. Who cares if you came to school feeling bad? Who cares if your last night at home was horrible and you can't concentrate? Who cares if you don't understand it or you can't even read? Whatever that day on that test, that's how smart you are, and that's how smart your teacher is. And then, guess what? We can't go back. We can't go back and teach that. We got to keep moving on. Pearson says, don't go back. Keep moving on. And he is bought into lock, stock, and barrel with Pearson. Everything they sell is everything we buy. Then the next 9 weeks, it's all different stuff. Same thing. Don't go back. It does it four times. They grade the child and they grade the teacher. That's why there's a teacher turnover, because teachers have been educated that all children learn differently and they learn at their own rate of speed, and we've got to meet the needs of that teacher. We can't. If we do what we know is best, then they get fired. I hate the pacing guide. It's just standards. It's Common Core standards that they're trying to keep up with. So that whenever, and they haven't said this yet, but at eighth grade, the reason Carlos Matthews keeps harping on counselors, more counselors, more counselors, is because in eighth grade, they're going to decide by the grade you made on those tests if you are college material or you aren't. And then they'll send you on different tracks. And if anybody tells my little granddaughter who started pre-K-4 today in eighth grade. How old are you in eighth grade? 12 years old? You didn't know what you wanted to do or be when you were 12 years old. How dare they start you on a track that is not college or that is trade school? Now, I know some trade school people that make a whole lot more than a teacher, but I believe that's up to the child when he gets older, and I believe it's up to the parent. And I'm going to go crazy when they start talking about those eighth grade counselors deciding your child's life.
And who knows what kind of contract they'll have with doing that, you know, what's going to be the driver behind that. Every child should have a chance to develop, and
absolutely,
you don't want to, and some children are going to come along a little bit slower than others. That doesn't mean they're not as smart as others. Now, let's talk about, you mentioned something the other night, and I'll get your take on it. And when it comes to, what's your feelings about how to evaluate classroom teachers?
Okay. He evaluates teachers. He says he uses these five ways he's made up. Half the time, what he's saying isn't true anyway. You know some people when their lips are moving, if they're not telling the truth? Well, we got some of those. Okay, he has, starting in third grade, I think you're 7 years old, you grade your teacher.
and they actually use it. Every child's required to do it on their laptop, and it goes to MERT from 3rd grade to 12th grade. Now, little 3rd graders and 4th graders, they might like their teacher, but if they're having a bad day, they put horrible on every mark. Then you get to junior high, and you know junior high hormones, they don't care. They could just do a design when they're answering those. And in high school, some of them don't want to be there. They're grading their teachers based on their students' responses. And now that you're out of school, you know that some of your very best teachers were the teachers that stayed on you and were hard on you because they cared about you and they know you needed that experience. But as a young person, you don't know that, so you grade your teacher poorly. And then they have a checklist. And they have people coming in the classroom frequently. Remember that every classroom is different. Some years you have a mild classroom. Some years you have a wild classroom. Some years you have a smart classroom. Some years you have a struggling classroom. They come in there with a checklist. And if you don't do everything they think you should have done, and mind you, for me, I have 5 degrees. The people that are grading me or were grading me have 1 degree or 2 degrees, and they decide. That's pretty bad. And then we can go back to the notebook that Wardinsky says he won the court case over. At the beginning of last year, he wrote down the names of teachers in every school and gave them a notebook before the school year started and told them exactly how to get rid of those teachers by the end of the school year. And you know what's funny? It was mostly the teachers that made the most money. No, we're not evaluated right.
Yeah.
He wants to bring non-experienced teachers.
Yes, cutting costs, cutting numbers, and
doesn't care.
Putting in people that's irresponsible and don't supporting people that's irresponsible. Somebody like Mr. Matthews, that is not going to do anything but ruin the system. And it's obvious it's obvious that you got some people that want to come in and do a quick beautification, but really do nothing beneath the surface, and do a quick beautification and then get out looking pretty. He brought in a couple of schools and changed the programs around, and it's just not going to work in the long run. I haven't seen anything that's going to work in the long run. Let me get your opinion on this. I've asked a couple of people about this. I had Laura McCauley on the show, and she explained a little bit about it, but I really didn't get the answer I was looking for. And this concerns.
I wonder.
Yeah, this concerns when students drop out. Is there a mechanism, or is there some kind of effort to try to get them back in school, or if they're beyond the age, I mean, within the first 1 or 2 years that they drop out, is there an effort to get them back into school or get them into some type of trade? We just don't want to leave them hanging out there, because I know sometimes some school systems. I don't know that much about Huntsville, because she really didn't give me the answer I was looking for. But
she didn't know it.
But what can somebody do about a child that has dropped out and they reached the age where really the truant officer can't do anything? Is there any effort to try to save these kids, these young adults?
After they graduate. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying once they drop out, is there any type of effort to try to get them back, or to try to help them? If they're not going to come back, well, let the school help you into some type of trade or something.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate that idea that people are just throwing their hands up and say, well, they're gone. Forget it.
I've taught grades 1 through 8, and so I don't know everything about 9 through 12 except how people are treated. However, I do know there is that credit recovery that Carlos brags about. I actually think that you can keep taking that until you pass it, and then it'll look like they did help you recover, and it'll bring their data up, but you're no smarter. I do know that they are making some trade school places in some of our high schools, or that's what they're saying. A lot of stuff they say, they build up, and it's 10 times the size of what they really do. They are not willing to invest in teachers and they'll invest programs if they're technology. But I want to see that as a matter of fact, the mission of Huntsville City Schools is that every student will be college or career ready. When I'm on the board, I'm going to check more into that for you. But I have a feeling if our school board president didn't know, it's not happening. They want you to think they're meeting the needs of every child. And I wanted to get this in before your show is over, that if you have a parent, if you have a child in Huntsville City Schools, more than ever, please be involved. Because if your child tells you something's wrong, they're probably not telling you that until it's very wrong. Regardless of what you're told, it is a public school, and you have a right to go in that school and check on your child and talk to that teacher. And if that principal will not let you in, when I'm your school board member, you call me and we'll go together. But this is not a school system, the state that it's in, that you can let your child just not ask them questions and not tell them anything. If they're upset, you get in that school and you find out what's wrong. And if they're not learning and they can't read a book to you, you go over there to that school's office and you tell them, I don't care what you do, but before you graduate my child, he will read this book. Please, I'm just begging you. You're hearing a lot of stuff that is not true. And I will be the only board member that has been in a classroom the whole 5 years that Wardinsky has been here. And I have never seen such a negative impact of that one person could make on a school system. I am begging you to be involved in your child's education. If you have to take off and there's problems, you go. Don't you trust that report card. You have your child work a math problem, or you have your child read to you, because chances are they can't. And if they have a few problems, they put them in some room and they aren't teaching them, or they've expelled them or thrown them out, don't you dare. Huntsville City Schools brags that it's the best school in the nation, and you make them prove it. And if you vote for Pam Hill on August 23rd, I'll be right there by your side.
Yeah, and that brings me to my next subject I was going to ask you about. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about the school climate, the climate inside the classrooms?
Okay, 19 years, but I started as a student and when I was 5. I'm 55 now, and I quit to run for school board. I have never felt so much fear and intimidation by teachers. Teachers are having to take so much sick leave because they cannot handle the stress and intimidation. Even in his opening remarks to all the teachers of Huntsville City Schools, teachers cried. They emailed me. They texted me. I want to see what he said to them, but I haven't yet. But he let them know that he was in charge, and those notebooks with those bad teachers, he won, and they better do their job. And I had teachers saying, should I quit today? I cannot go through this. If you have a teacher who is so scared and so afraid, she is not performing well. And if you have children that are afraid, if they're afraid of failing, man, there is pressure on those kids to pass those tests. If the teachers are sick of tests, think how much the students are sick of tests. We need learning to be fun and engaging and use the laptop as an accessory or to accommodate the lesson. Use the book. When a laptop breaks down, in most schools, you have one person that sits in a room and can try to fix it. Half the time they can't. They have to call MERT. I have most of my students, when they lose a laptop because it broke or it didn't work, they don't get it back for a week to 2 weeks. Okay, now we don't have any books except one set, and there's 4 classes. There's 100 kids, and there's one set of books. And these laptops break. I don't remember one day since I've had laptops that someone didn't break down. What are we going to do?
That's another thing that I talked about with another candidate in another district about all these breakdowns, and we really didn't get an answer the other night when Mr. Matthews was speaking, and he shifted the blame back to the server. But that's still,
well, okay,
I mean,
and you know,
what is the school system going to do? The server is going to be off somewhere doing their thing. I mean, what role is the school going to play when that server breaks down and the student's supposed to get, he's supposed to have a test that night? I mean, what provisions are they making in case of these breakdowns, or do they need another backup server? He just didn't answer. He just said the server has to get it together. He put all the shifted the blame back on the server, but he didn't say actually what the school system was going to do in that event.
They're not going to do anything. And because he
they don't
cannot,
know what to do.
He's been bought. He can't say anything negative. So he's never going to say anything negative. And then the superintendent wants us all to test on the same day. That never works. Usually half a school can't get in because they brag about what they bought, but they don't spend their money to make the laptops work. And then they're buying laptops. The laptops we have now break easier than the laptops we had before, even though the superintendent threw one across the school board room to show that these were going to be better. I wish it would have broke because they sure are breaking in the classroom. Those students are losing out on learning. Now he's taken out the books. They don't have a laptop. They don't have a book. There is no excuse. There's no excuse for taking the books out, and there's no excuse about bragging about this one-on-one technology when we are wasting precious, precious learning time, and our eighth graders can only a third of our eighth graders in Huntsville City Schools can read.
I just
wonder
if the laptop.
That's data.
Yeah, I wonder if the laptop he threw across the room was one he brought, or they just picked up random out of the audience. It's just so many shady things has been done. It's just hard to trust this superintendent and the board that we got now. It's just too hard to trust them. I mean, you can't trust them, especially with, like I said, what happened out there at Johnson. And
oh,
then
I'm so
this,
sorry
this
about
push,
Johnson.
And this push toward, the police state type of schools. And trying to punish kids, a direct line with your school and the police station, that just takes all the credibility out of your teachers and your principal. I mean, who's going to be the authority? Is it going to be the superintendent and the police going to be the authority, or is it going to be the principal and the teachers?
The superintendent doesn't know anything about public education, but he believes he's the authority. I believe our next superintendent should be an educator, and if I'm on that board, the next one's going to be an educator. The police, I don't know what the, they send out a mixed message, the superintendent and the SROs. That some of them say they're police, some of them say they're not police. The superintendent says it's the best policeman we have in Huntsville. Really? We have all the best policemen we have in Huntsville inside the schools, and who's on the road?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just lived it. I lived it for 5 years. I plan to die teaching children, and it is so bad I can't. And people are going to say, boy, Pam Hill's not going to win. She's so negative. The only reason I sound so negative is because the public hasn't heard the truth for 5 years. Please don't vote for an incumbent. Please don't vote for Carlos. Our incumbent, we don't have one. It's me or Carlos. There is no runoff August 23rd. Only thing I need you to do is go to the polls August 23rd.
That's the date when we need people to come out and show how they want the transparency and how they want educators in these positions. Do not trust. I'll say it again. Do not trust anybody with your child's education who don't have the experience and know-how about education. It just doesn't make any sense somebody to vote for Carlos Matthews, because what is he actually bringing to the table in the form of experience and actually working with our children in education? He's not bringing much to the table. He's bought and paid for by a few small group of people who are going to control him, and he's a willing puppet. They don't even have to attach any strings to him for him to dance. He's going to dance anyway. But we need real people in that position. Okay, now tell us about tell us about your ideas about teacher retention and recruitment.
It breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart. For 600 teachers to leave, if you were the CEO of a company and you had 600 of your leaders walk out, I think the CEO should go. In this case, I think it's the superintendent. I can tell you that I was in a fourth grade classroom, and we had three teachers last year. One teacher was let go. I quit, and that left one experienced teacher who has been there 20 years, turned out to be one of my best friends. She has, well, I want to protect her, but there are three new teachers in her grade. So she was exhausted last night. She helped people that have no idea what they're doing today with their children. And she had to stay till after 9 p.m. so she could get her own classroom ready. I told her, you take care of your class and you do what you can. But they're going to judge you on your class, and that's what they're doing. They are running off experience because we know who we are. We know we're professionals. We are not going to be treated like that. And thank God I have a husband that I can quit. It's going to be tight. I need to sell your house, by the way. It's going to be tight, but I could leave. Some of those people can't leave. And they're saying, Pam, what am I going to do? It's only the first day, and my nerves are shot. Y'all, please, please support your teachers. Please support your teachers. And all he's hiring are new teachers because they're the cheapest teachers. Madison City and Madison County are saying thank you very much because a lot of our great teachers with experience have went to Madison City and Madison County. And some of them have went to private schools and taken a cut, or Christian schools and taken a cut in pay. And some of them say they didn't even have to take a cut in pay. But you don't want an inexperienced teacher. It takes your child three more years to make up. Yes, we have to have new teachers. I was a new teacher 19 years ago. But that didn't mean most of the experience was gone. We don't have an experienced teacher in every subject level or every grade in Huntsville City Schools. As a matter of fact, we don't have teachers in some of those classes. In three of our high schools, during orientation class, it was blank or it said administration. Y'all, it's really wrong. Please be involved. Please go to school. Please ring the phone off. Please call the superintendent's office. He won't answer. But please call it. Go up there. Go to the school board meeting. There's one this Thursday night at 5:30 at Mertz. It's 200 White Street. It's not hard to find. It's near Five Points. You have to sign up to speak the day before. Now, they make it as hard as they can. But you call 256-428-6800, and you ask for the school board secretary, and you tell her your name and what you want to speak about. And if I was you, I would make what you want to speak about a little clever, because that's how they do their agenda. They'll put something on there that you could never guess what you're really going to speak about, or just tell the truth. And if a lot of people have the same issue, they'll say, now only three can speak, and then you only have 3 minutes. And this superintendent has cut off the cameras. He doesn't want any comments shown on television. He doesn't want anybody to know there's problems. No other superintendent has done that. He is trying to make it hard for you to speak, or that you don't speak, and if you do, that it won't be heard. You stand up for your greatest investment, and that is the child that God gave you.
Yes, it's the future. It's the future. So you got to speak out, and now it's time to speak out and speak out at the polls on the 23rd.
Yes,
we need everybody available, all hands on deck, to come out. Call your friends, your neighbors, your relatives who live in that district, because we don't want
take
District 5 to fall into the hands of the Comedia 100, and Carlos Matthews. We do not need that. Pam, could you tell us how people can get involved with your campaign?
Volunteers. I would love volunteers to stand outside the schools with me before and after school. I would love them to canvas. I need some poll watchers that day. You have to stay 30 feet away, but you can still stand there. And if somebody makes eye contact with you, you'll have something you can hand them if they want it. You just have to follow the rules of the law, but I'll make sure you do that. And I need somebody there. I need somebody there at every poll the whole day. Because do I trust anybody anymore? Not after I've been in Huntsville City Schools 19 years. The way you can get in touch with me is you can go to www.PamHillBoe, that's all together, all lowercase, PamHillBoe, number 5. Just you spell out Pam Hill, B-O-E, the number 5.com. You can also donate to my campaign at that website. And then Gmail is Pam Hill, F-O-R-B-O-E, 5@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page, and all you do is type in where you're searching for a Facebook. And these are with spaces, just like you were writing words, Pam Hill for District 5 BOE. BOE is capital. Pam Hill for District 5 BOE. You'll learn all about what I had to say. I'll take the time and answer you back. I need you. I need you to canvas. I need you to tell your neighbors. I need you to stand outside the schools. You still have to stand off school ground and hold a sign. I need you to call people. I need you to tell people at church, at work, at the grocery store. Mainly, I need you to take everybody you know to the polls August 23rd. It's a Tuesday. It's 3 weeks away. And vote. I think it's from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. If you don't know where to vote, you text us, you give us your address, and we'll tell you where you vote. I can't thank you enough for letting me share my agenda and sharing my passion and my heart. I don't have anything else to give but my life. And I'm given 50 out of 55 years. Thank you for letting me be on your show.
Well, we was glad to have you on the show. And I want to encourage people, if you want new leadership delivering results for our community, you need a lifetime educator. We need people like this in position. We don't need people like this who's gone Johnny come latelys and people who are fresh on a job. This job that she's coming after in District 5 is not a job in a position where somebody has to be trained on the spot or somebody that's being controlled from the outside. This person needs to know Huntsville education, and Pam meets all those qualifications, and I encourage people to check her website out. Well, hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, and maybe after the election, win, lose, or draw, we hope you stay in it and keep your voice being heard, because people need to hear the truth. And the silence game is over. There's no more silence.
Absolutely.
We're going to get to the root of all our problems concerning education and the community and all that. So I look forward to working with you.
Mr. Echols, I can't thank you enough. We will stay in touch. And if somebody calls your station and needs me, you know how to get a hold of me.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right, take care.
With that, we'll close the show out with Pam Hill.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.